What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is DJ Quest One with the Drive Podcast. Thank you for listening to the last episode of Bob Marley Movie. And this episode, I am going to talk about Oscar De La Hoya documentary. Here's a trailer in case you haven't heard.
The world fell in love with my story. But it was a lie.
The pride of East LA, the Golden Boy.
Oscar De La Hoya was the most popular fighter since Muhammad Ali.
I've never told anybody what really happened. At 6 years old, out come the gloves.
Started fighting kids.
Punched in the face.
Yeah, it was an interesting documentary. It's called The Golden Boy. It's on HBO. I didn't have HBO for a minute. HBO Max. It's on HBO Max, or if you have HBO. And I just recently got it. Shout out to my daughter. I had it for like 2 years. I just never really watched it. I watched it because of the winning, the documentary. Well, it's a series called Winning. I think it's called Winning Time, and it's about the Lakers in the 80s. It's really put well together. John C. Reilly plays Dr. Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers. But anyways, this one came out last year, and man, it is so I can relate, being that I was a kid, Mexican American kid in the east side of San Antonio, not the east side of Los Angeles. And I started boxing at 7 years old, all the way into like 18. I didn't have the heart, you know. Some people are built to do it all the way, and I did it, but by the end of the day, it just wasn't in there. My heart wasn't in it anymore. I tried coming back when I was 25. It just wasn't there. And then I got hurt. My ribs got bruised. If you ever had bruised ribs, it hurts. But it's an interesting documentary. I didn't know he had 6 kids from 4 different women. He had an abusive mom. Supposedly his mom used to beat him up for any little thing. And then him getting caught with the pictures, it kind of elaborates what really happened. Now, I'm not going to give it all the way. I'm just going to tell you what I think the documentary is. You know, at age 19, he won the Olympic gold medal in 1992 in Barcelona. I remember that. I was in Mexico at the time. And I remember watching the Dream Team. And they were just clobbering everyone. You know, Michael Jordan, David Robinson, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Patrick Ewing, Scottie Pippen, Karl Malone, John Stockton. And then you had, of course, Christian Laettner, who shouldn't have been on that team, but he was. I think that Isaiah Thomas should have been on the team, but for some reason they didn't like him, or Michael Jordan didn't want him to be on the team. It's not very clear. I get it, but he should have been. I mean, he's a 2-time champ. I just don't understand why they left him out. He should have been on that team. But going back to Oscar De La Hoya, you know, he won multiple championships, and you know, his community, his nickname was the Golden Boy. And now he's a promoter. You know, he promoted Canelo. Now he's with Ryan Garcia. Now he promotes Ryan Garcia. I didn't even know that he promoted 10 fights of... So when he fought Floyd Mayweather back in 2000... let me see here. Yeah, 2007, May 5th. He promoted 10 more fights. So Ricky Haddon, Marquez, Mosley, Ortiz, Scotto, Guerrero, Alvarez, Madonna twice, and then Pacquiao. So he got paid big time to fight against Pacquiao, as he was a promoter. But see, the thing is, Mayweather's like, I got my own promotion company. No, you don't. You didn't have your promotion company going on right there. He puts on this front that he's this and that. The thing is, if you have so much money, why do you keep fighting? De La Hoya's not fighting anymore. He's got money in the bank. But the thing is, it's that misconception that, oh, I have so much money in the bank, you know. And in fact, I give props to Mayweather. You know, that Pacquiao, he broke the record of De La Hoya, because De La Hoya was like the box office king prior to Mayweather surpassing him on the Pacquiao fight. They made about $200 million each, you know, back in 2015. I remember that day because the Spurs were defending. I went to go see that fight. I was still living in San Antonio. I remember that. And I went to go see it at my friend's house. And the Spurs had just lost to the freaking Clippers in Game 7. Man, I wish they would have went back to, you know, back-to-back and defend their title. Just never got the chance. Maybe with Wimby they'll do that. I'm still excited about Wimby. The Spurs aren't winning, but whatever. Anyways, he made bank, and, you know, it's controversial. You know, there's photos of him in the lingerie and all that, and supposedly he had a partying problem. You know, he used to like to party around. He used to party a lot, and he's so used to everyone saying yes to him. So, with that being said, like, the documentary goes in deep about his secrets, and I'm not going to spill the beans. I'm not going to tell you what's going on. You're going to have to watch it yourself in order for you to look at it. You know, because I was trying to watch it, you know, I was trying to watch it to see if there anyone had it on YouTube or anything like that, you know. I really wanted to watch it, but it's a two-part series, a part one and part two. And, you know, at the same time I was boxing, he was boxing. He was still, so I started boxing in amateurs in 89, 90. So he was still amateur as well. He's older than me. I think he's about 5 years older than me. And he, so I remember having the U.S., there used to be a, I don't know if they still have a USA Boxing book, and they have all the rankings, and De La Hoya was there. De La Hoya had, you know, all these accolades, and he was going to the Olympics, and I remember my dad saying, like, he's going to win it all. He's that good. Sure enough, he won it all. 1992, he won it all. Fernando Vargas was on there also, a bunch of other... Shane Mosley was on there, and supposedly Shane Mosley and Oscar De La Hoya fought in amateurs, and Shane Mosley beat him then. So I think Shane Mosley's beat him 3 times, or unless I'm wrong, I'm not sure. But they're both from California, so they saw each other and when they were in the, you know, in the amateurs. But Shane Mosley didn't make it to the Olympics. I think he made it to the U.S. trials, the U.S. Olympic trials, but he didn't tryouts. But I don't think he made it to the Olympics. But it also talks about how, like, he created 24/7, and how it also talks about how, like, he was getting screwed by his first two managers. He had these two managers, and they just didn't, weren't sharing the wealth with him. They leased a house, right? And he thought that it was his. And then he was fighting in Vegas, and he had to stay in this rinky-dinky hotel. And one of the managers there said, "Hey, I know you. You're that boxer. You're that the golden. You're the guy that won the gold medal." And he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "What are you doing staying in this shithole?" So it just goes to, he fired them and he hired this guy. He's a sales. He had like different dealerships to be his manager to help him. So then he started seeing the money roll in. So, you know, you're young. You got at 24. You're making $20 million. You know, like I can't imagine being that age. I mean, I can imagine being a millionaire, but I don't know about that age being, you know, that rich. And this crazy part is that because he won a gold medal, he got all these endorsements. So if I would have fought at light flyweight and I would have won the gold medal, it would have been different because I'm at a lighter weight class. I would have been light flyweight, flyweight, you know, bantamweight. And they get paid less than some of the higher weight people that like middleweights, welterweights, heavyweights, they get paid more. So the heavier you are, the more you'll get paid. I think I might have been able to make welterweight at 147, but I'm like 150 right now, so maybe not. You know, it's always 10 to 15 pounds less than you are. So right now, being that I'm like 5'6", you know, I would probably be fighting at 130, 125. And it's weird the way boxing is, because if you're like, let's say your walking weight is 175, right? You'd have to go down to like 154 to fight, because that's the thing about boxing that people don't know, that you're not actually fighting someone that actually weighs that. I would have to say maybe Mayweather at 154, his walking weight is probably 160, 170. So when he fought middleweight, I think you know, he was probably at his normal walking weight, 160, because he's about 5'7", 5'6", I think, or this, they have him at 5'8". I don't think he's 5'8". But anyways, he talked about his losses. It talks about how, like, he lost to Felix Trinidad at the same time. He started dating that Puerto Rican singer, and how, like, he had, so his first wife, Shanna, had a kid with him, and he already had another kid on the way with another woman. It's crazy. But one of the things that I want to point out about him was, is being a dad. And he said he didn't know how to be a dad. And, you know, I'm a dad. So to me, he put his career first before he put his kids. So he, you know, and his brother talked about it. His brother's like, you know, screw boxing. Have your kids first. Your kids are your priority. And he put his kids in the back burner and his career was in front. So he's got a juggle. Now they're older. His older kids, you know, they're like 20 and some of them, I think 18, 19, not sure. But they're not, you know, they didn't have that relationship. And, you know, I'm grateful that I had that relationship with my dad. We didn't have a lot of money. You know, he was there for me. I'm there for my daughter. I'm there for my kids, you know, and try to be that father figure because they need that when they're growing up. You know, they have to have that. It's not they need, they have to have it. Otherwise, they're lost, you know, having that relationship. And thing about him is that the healing process for him is saying that is connecting with his kids again. And being able to be there for them. Like, there's this one part that was pretty cool. Like, he got all his kids, his older kids together. But he was being a father to the kids we had with Millie. But he wasn't being a father to his previous kids. Is that he sat them all on the plane together. And they stayed in a hotel. And he met them. And so that way they could all hang out. I thought that was pretty cool. But there, you know, there's a lot of clips of him fighting. And it's cool. You know, it talks about him facing Julio Cesar Chavez. I remember talking to my uncle at the time. My grandma was passing away, and I remember my uncle telling me, like, De La Hoya's fighting Julio Cesar Chavez, and he's like, De La Hoya's going to beat him. You know, Julio Cesar Chavez was one of my heroes growing up. So he's one of the best boxers I remember growing up as a kid. Like, man, idolizing. Like, damn, this guy's really good. He knocks everyone out. But when I saw De La Hoya had more of my fighting type of stance, and, you know, he was fast, you know what I mean? He had that awesome jab, and I had an awesome jab. So I could relate to some of him, but I couldn't relate him not being a father for his kids, you know? In this life, you know, the kids are only little once. They're not little all the time. They grow up. So, but it's a good documentary. I suggest you watch it and check it out, you know? It's called The Golden Boy, Part 1 and Part 2. I got some exciting news. So next episode, I have a friend, Ruben Rios. He is a guest. He's a normal guy, retired, but he's a Vietnam vet, and he talks about his life. So I'm excited about that. I need to edit it, put some finishing touches on it, and I'll put it on. Thank you for listening to The Drive Podcast, and tune in to the next episode. Peace.